We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Welcome. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Building a Future, a study through the book of Zechariah. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com. Now get your Bible and let's get started.
Father, I am so thankful, Lord, for the prayers that have already gone up, Lord. I am thankful, Lord, for your presence amongst us, Lord. I am thankful for your Holy Spirit that anoints us, Lord, to speak your word and to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. I am thankful, Father, for your presence, the awareness of your presence with us. And Father, we just lift up our country to you right now, Lord. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would give our leaders wisdom as they lead us, Lord. It's some of the things that we're talking about today, Lord. We don't want to be led astray by people and so, Father, I pray that you would bring them to that place of salvation, because at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. And we pray, Father, for repentance of for our country, Lord, that we would repent of the things that we have done, Lord, that has not been pleasing to you. And so, Father, we lift up this morning. We are thankful, Lord, again, for all of the ladies that are here. We're thankful, Lord, that you cleared the way for us to get here. Lord, that we were not stopped in any way. And, Father, that you're just that you're amongst us. And I pray, Father, for you to speak your word, Lord. Just overwhelm us with your goodness, your grace, your love for us and for one another, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was preparing for this, I was listening to Jay Vernon yesterday morning. Anybody listen to him yesterday morning? And or whenever he was on. I was aware that Jay Vernon McGee was recording those things in the late 60s, early 70s. And what do you think he said yesterday? The way that our country is going, God's judgment has to come on it. I was watching something on TV, and there was a little thing about, remember, those of us who are a little more mature, remember Laugh-In. Some of you younger ladies don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But on Laugh-In, I saw these bits and pieces, and I realized, what was that? Was that in that was in the late 60s, right? Early 70s? And I was watching some of the little bits that they put there, and I went, oh my gosh, that was the very beginning of what we're fighting right now in our country. Little doors that were open, and we thought it was hilarious because we thought it wasn't possible to happen. And here we are today, living through the same thing that Dr. McGee talked about, that our country is headed for judgment. And I would be remiss, I would not be true to what God's given me to say if I didn't remind us of that. I have to be reminded myself to pray for our nation, to pray for repentance, to pray that God would somehow intervene and save us, and that our hearts would be turned to him, because I think sometimes that we are headed for some very, very tough times. So anyway, so as I was looking at this with what Dr. McGee was saying, and I'm looking at this chapter 10, and I'm going, this Zechariah is the whole thing that Dr. McGee was talking about way back then. How long ago was that? Oh, whew, it was forever ago. But it's the very same thing. And here we are, we're still looking for the Lord's return. And I will promise you that his return is nearer than the day when we first believed. And so be prepared. Be prepared for his coming. But as I was studying on this, I couldn't get past the first word. In the first verse, I couldn't get past. I spent days at the first word. And it starts with the word ask. Just ask. Ask the Lord for what? Ask the Lord for rain. This verse actually goes together with the previous chapter. It was a continuation of that because you realize that at the end of chapter 9, verse 17, how great is your goodness and how great its beauty. Grain shall make the young man thrive and the new wine in the young woman. So pray for the latter rain. Why do you have to pray for the latter rain? The latter rain was one of the most important rains. There was a former and the latter rain. The latter rain was the one that really prepared the crops to grow up and be strong and ready for harvest. They needed that latter rain. But this word ask, we have not because we ask not. Ask and it shall be given to you. Filled up, running over, all of these things. You ask and you don't receive because you want those things only for yourself. Those are times when asking is not appropriate. And God would speak to us about that. He said, ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking, seek and keep on seeking after him. And that is the very first thing that just days and days of, Lord, why do I hesitate to ask? What is it that perhaps there's someone in here today that you've thought about things and you've thought through every way that you could possibly get through this thing, get past this thing, deal with this thing, and you haven't had a chance or you haven't thought to ask the Lord to help? If you have something, please write it down and deal with it with the Lord later. So this latter rain, asking for the latter rain, it was a thing of asking for when there wasn't the rain. You know that it all is a desert area there, and those rains are very, very important. You know that California is a desert area, and those rains are very, very important. But they knew when they were being disobedient, the Lord would hold back the rain. Now, something else that stood out to me as I was going through this is scientists are looking right now how to create life in a petri dish, right? They want to create life. No one has been able to create rain. And you can create a life, perhaps, but that life cannot be sustained without water. And it will be God that's in control, and that's just all there is to it. So we ask for the latter rain. So as we are praying and as we are wondering the direction that we're going, and I don't know, let's pray for rain. Let's really pray for rain. And did I share with you guys about looking at the map and how the fronts had gone over the last year? It was amazing to me that as the weathermen were explaining why we weren't getting any rain. And as I looked at the map, they showed, you know, the number of the fronts that had gone by. So here's California, and this front came and went around and came back. This front came, went around, and went on. Do you think that that was God? I'm just saying. You know? We need to be praying. We need to be asking. So we're asking for rain. Enough on the very first verse. The Lord will make flashing clouds if you ask, and he will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. There's going to be enough for everybody. Verse 2, for the idols speak delusion, the diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. I wonder, who do you go to when you have a question? Who do you go to when you want to know a story or you want clarity on something? We usually go to magazines, we go to TV reports, we go to radio, we go to newspapers, we go to a number of other things. How often, when the Lord is silent, do we go to Him and just wait on Him for an answer? They wanted to not wait for an answer, and they went to the diviners. It was interesting when we went to San Clemente last week, Bill and I, and we're walking around the town, and here's this place that's a fortune teller. And it's a nice little house, but on the front of it is this huge, I'm not kidding you, he was huge, laughing Buddha. And it said, fortunes told on the front of it. And I thought about that as there were three young men, kids in their early teens, were going by on their skateboards, and they stopped right in front, and the one kid was saying, yeah, let's go in. And as we walked by, I said, it's not worth the price. And he goes, I wonder how much it is to have my future told. It costs way too much. More than money it costs. But there they were, they wanting to know, what does the future hold? Right here, we have everything that our future holds. Well, will I be, it was interesting that it was a laughing Buddha, because have you ever noticed, I know that you guys haven't gone to fortune tellers, but you've heard of people who have. And they always tell you, this is going to be good, and this is going to be wonderful in your life, and this wonderful thing is going to happen, and it's kind of like who you're related to, you know, in ancestries. Did you notice that everybody's related to Billy the Kid? So they're being told false things. That's what he's talking about. They're being told false things. When Rachel took the idol, when her and Jacob left Laban, she took her father's idol. She took it for two reasons. One, it was saying, when she took that idol, it was saying that her husband now has control over all of her father's assets because she had her father's God carrying with her. Another thing, a reason that she took it is because she did not want him consulting that God to find out where they were. Interesting thing that she would take their gods with them. There was no one to lead them, it says. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. Were they without leaders? Absolutely not. They had leaders. They had faithless leaders. Faithless leaders. They had faithless priests. What? How does that happen? How can you be a pastor? How can you be a priest? How can you be a high priest? How can you be all these things and not have faith? Well, it happened here, and it's happening today. People are being misled because they don't know the Word of God. So ladies, again, let's get back to knowing why you believe what you believe. How are you going to know that? You're going to know that by coming into Bible study, but you're going to know that more by your time invested with the Lord by yourself. Just that really special time with them. They had leaders. In Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34 tells of the consequences of false leaders, false shepherds, who were themselves faithless. They misled the people, they oppressed the humble, and they oppressed the poor. We move on to verse 3, and my anger is kindled against who? Against the shepherds. I take teaching very, very seriously. And when I stand before you, I always want to be very, very careful that I am only saying the things that the Lord wants me to say, because I know I bear the consequences if I take it in a wrong direction. And God deals more heavily with me as he does with anybody else in there, in that leadership. God's anger is kindled against the shepherds, and he will punish the he-goats, the he-goats. That word Gothards is, for the Lord of hosts will visit his people. He will visit his people. This word visit here means that he's visiting to stay. It's like a relative that's over, you know, came for a visit, but they moved in. That's what God's going to do. He's coming for a visit of his people, and he's going to remain at this particular time. They're talking to the house of Judah. There will no longer be distressed, scattered, or prey, but they shall be strong in the power of his might. And so he's going to punish them. He said he's going to visit his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his royal horse in the battle. They shall be as his royal horse, the horse fit and equipped for God, the God of majesty, to ride into battle to execute judgment. Now, we move into a parenthesis in this chapter. And this parenthesis is around verse 4. Because in verse 4, we have the most, the richest messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, in verse 4. And it's all in here as we look at it. And it says, first of all, it all says, from him, from him, from him, from him. This is all talking about this one person. And so, first of all, from him comes the cornerstone. From him comes the cornerstone. Isaiah 28:16, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter 2:4-5, we see that this foundation is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that this cornerstone was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm betting that all of you studied on what the cornerstone did and what it looked like and all of that sort of thing, right? You all did, and you all got that picture of what it was like and how part of it was buried and part of it was shiny and part of it were all different things. But Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the sure foundation of the church of the living God. It is Jesus Christ. Everything depends on the foundation. Everything depends on the foundation. Now, I love to watch Love It or List It on HGTV. I really love that thing because it's something I'll never do, and so I like to see how they do it. But I notice time after time, and if you haven't seen it, it's they take an old house and fix it up, and the people have to decide, are they going to love the house that they were in, or are they going to sell it and buy a new house? So that's basically it. But the thing that comes up again and again and again is problems with the foundation. And so all of the money that was for this remodel has to go into the foundation, because the foundation is the most important thing to hold up the walls. You can have just a very, very simple thing on a firm foundation and it will be perfect. But you can have a most magnificent thing that's built on top of an unsure foundation, and it will crumble and it will fall when the storms come. If the foundation is on the sand, it won't stand against the storm or the flood. An illustration of that is the Golden Gate Bridge. The pilings, is that what they're called, that hold up the bridge? They are in sand, but they go all the way down to the bedrock, and they are attached to the bedrock so that when things shake, when the wind blows, it still stands. And that's what we need to do. We need to be connected to that bedrock. We've had recent earthquakes, huge earthquakes, 2.5 and 3.5. I could hardly bear it. But it reminds us, are we prepared for a shaking? Ladies, are you prepared for a shaking? I'm not talking about the shaking of the ground that's underneath you. Are you prepared for a shaking? How do you establish your foundation? The foundation was just I came across this as I was in my office this morning, a different kind of miracle. It's by Emily Barnes, My Story of Hope, Healing, and God's Amazing Faithfulness. And I've asked Trish if we can get it in the bookstore, because it says, Emily Barnes' very foundations were shaken when she heard the dreaded word cancer. It goes on to say, earthquake days, what to do when the foundation beneath you shakes. The cupboard's not bare, trusting the reality of God's provision. Tomorrow always dawns, living in hope. If you're experiencing difficulties or wish to understand someone else's pain, this is the book for you. I pulled it out because she talks about foundation, and I love Emily Barnes. I love what she did. The last time I saw Emily, she did seminars on being organized. I went to every one of them. Yes. But the last time I saw her, I was just sitting there looking at her, and I realized the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, this is the last time she's going to be before anybody. And it was right after that that she announced that she had cancer, and that was going to be her last time. So what do you do when your foundation is shaken? What is your foundation made out of? Do you have the cornerstone? Do you have that thing that holds together? Cornerstone are not only foundation, but they also unite two walls together at the corner. And the cornerstone discovered from Solomon's temple was regarded by ancient Jews as the joining of moral and spiritual truths. The joining of moral and spiritual truths. Does that not speak of Jesus Christ once again? The moral and spiritual truths. Jesus Christ is that precious cornerstone spoken of in Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace. Christ is the one, the angled stone, who joins Jew and Gentile to make one body. Check out Ephesians 2, 19 through 22 if you want more explanation on that. It really was very interesting to me. Then it goes on to say, from him, the tent peg. From him, the tent peg. Now, the tent peg holds the tent in place, but it also is a tent peg inside to hang the valuables on. So it was the outside and the inside. Again, your homework covers Isaiah 22 for further study, which you've already done. Isaiah 9:7 tells us those pegs are judgment and righteousness. Those tent pegs are called judgment and righteousness, and they are descriptive also of the Messiah. The peg here is not the peg that's on the outside that's connected to the ropes. These are the pegs that are on the inside that we're established for something else. They are rather strong pegs inside the tent or built in the wall of the house. It was used to hang burdens on. For hanging burdens on. He is our tent peg. Do you know him as your burden bearer? Do you know him that way? Do you love him that way? Is he your burden bearer? Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He cares about you. He loves you. If you guys only knew how much we are loved, if I only knew how much we are truly loved by Christ. We know we're loved, but we don't have the full scope of it. Also, hanging on this peg is the glory of the house. It's called the glory of the house. The gold and silver vessels, the clothing, the shields, the swords, the suits of armor, so that all who entered could admire. That is what God expects us to do with Christ, show his glory off. Show his glory in our own lives. He is the one that holds us up in that. And from him, the battle bow. It speaks of the Messiah's character at his second coming. He will be the mighty and skillful archer who will send forth his sharp arrows in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people shall be made to fall under him. Psalm 45:5. The people, the enemies, will be made to fall under him. Check out 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 10 as you are studying a little bit more on that. And in your homework, of course, you already had those scriptures written out. And then we have from him every ruler together. In him, at his second coming, he shall have all the rule. Talk about a one world ruler. This is going to be our guy. He is going to be the one who is completely in control during the time of the millennium. He is King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And now we move on to chapter 5. We have taken out that parenthesis in learning about who Christ is, who the Messiah is here. And now we rejoin verses 1 through 3, and we move on to verse 5. And they shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. When he visits his flock, they shall be transformed. When God visits us, we are transformed. Do you believe that? When God visits us, we are transformed into something that we weren't before. Something so much better, something so much more like him. They are transformed into a horse of his majesty, no more afflicted by mighty men treading down their enemies. Mire of the streets is a figure of their enemies, and that is in Micah 7:10. But not in their own strength. We do not fight any battle in our own strength. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Every battle is the Lord's. The battle is always the Lord's. Again, that cartoon, when the lady answered the door, she opens it up, and there is what we picture the devil as looking at, and she just calls back, Jesus, this is for you. That's what we need to do. We just need to let God fight the battles for us, and we fight with him because he's transforming us. But not in our own strength. Psalm 20 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the Lord. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in anything else. And then we move down to verse 6, and it says that I will strengthen the house of Judah. I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am their God, the Lord their God, and I will hear them. So in verse 6, he will strengthen, he will save, he will restore, and he will establish them because he has mercy on us. We will be strengthened, we will be saved, we will be restored, and we will be established because God has mercy on us. And it will be like they were never cast out. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside. That is what justified is, just as if I'd never done it. We are justified in Christ, and he holds us up, and he takes care of us. Jeremiah 31:4, I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Ezekiel 36:11, and I will settle you as in your old estates, and I will do better to you than at your beginnings. Our life is going to be better than the day when we first believed. We're going to have it. There's going to be a day when I'm going to have it all together, and I'm going to know where it's at. You know, that day is going to happen. That day is going to happen, and I look so forward to that. And today I especially look forward to that. But we'll just, there'll be a day, there will be a day, that whatever that song is, when we're going to see him. We're going to see him face to face, and we're going to be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. He's promised that. And it goes on to say that it's going to be better than when we first believed. For I am the Lord their God. I am the Lord their God. He is the Lord our God. He is. He is my Lord. He is my God. He can't be your God if you won't let him be your Lord. He can't be your God if you won't let him be your Lord. Okay? And then he goes on to say, and I will hear them. Do you think the Lord's been silent with you on anything? I want you to know that he hears you. He hears you. He bends down his ear to hear you. You think he's not listening. Oh, ladies, he's listening to everything. Everything. In my anger, when I say something, God hears it. He knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart. He hears those. He hears us. The God of the universe hears us. We need to remember that. Verse 7, those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. Ephraim was part of the northern kingdom, and at this time of the writing, they were still, many of them still in exile, and they had little hope. The house of Joseph that was mentioned was even in a more hopeless state than Ephraim. But God gives us hope when we are at the place of being our least hopeful, or when we are in that place of hopelessness. We live in a generation where there's no need for hope. Because everything is so instant, we have faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have these things handed to us every day that we don't have to wait for anything. We don't have to hope for anything. Oh, I hope I get that job. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about. A hope to live with the living God. A hope that makes us not ashamed. He is our hope. He is my hope. He promises to work a work in our time and for all his people. He's going to work a work in our time that we would not believe, even though it were told to us. It says in Habakkuk. And it's going to be a very interesting work that he's going to do. And then we move on, and it says that their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children are going to see it, so they're going to be happy and joyful, and it's going to be something that is going to last. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. It's something that rejoicing that's going to continue. I will whistle for them, verse 8, and gather them. And I just, well, okay, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that at all. But this kind of whistle is one that, as you saw in your homework, it's one that was used when the flock was kind of dispersed and off in different directions. But the shepherd will play this little tune of, or just noise, maybe even, maybe not even a song. But it's not, we're not talking about a trumpet here. We are talking about a little whistle thing. And the sheep know that whistle. Do we know the whistle of the Lord? Are we attentive to his voice? When Vanjie and I go shopping anywhere, she will walk through the store, we get separated, and I hear it as, I know right where Vanjie is, because that's the way she identifies herself when she's looking for, when we're looking for each other. And I, and without a microphone, it doesn't go anywhere when I do that. So I, hey, Vanjie. No, but I listen for her because I'm familiar with the sound of it. Am I familiar with the shepherd's whistle? Am I familiar? When he says, come on, will I recognize that it's him? I won't go with anybody else because I don't recognize theirs. Right? Right. Okay. So, and you have that in your homework already about that. For I will redeem them as they, for I will redeem them and they shall increase as they once increased. I will redeem them. I will redeem them. He's going to redeem them. He's going to call them together. He's going to redeem them outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly, and they will grow in number. Just as when they were in exile, as they grew in number when they were in Egypt, they're going to grow in number again, and they will continue to grow, and it's going to be for all people. They're going to grow physically and spiritually, and they are going to glorify him. And so they shall increase, and I will sow them among the peoples. There's a difference between being cast out of a place and being sowed into a place. That means I'm going to plant them someplace. I'm going to plant them someplace. And God knows exactly where they needed to be, and they shall remember me in that place where I planted them, so that wherever we're at, we remember him. They shall live together with their children. It's going to be a great time, and they shall turn again. They shall return. They're going to return to me. And, you know, I look at this verse, and I know that there are people in here who have a child, and you're concerned about them. And you want to know, God, are they going to turn back? Are they going to turn to you? And I'm here to tell you right now, God has promised that they are. And you can trust him. You can trust him to bring him back. Keep praying. I want to encourage you, ladies. Come on Friday morning. Come on Friday morning at 9:30, if you possibly can, for that prayer time. It's just for women. Just to bear the burdens of us together. The men pray on Saturday mornings at the beach. Let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord for our kids and for the kids of others. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon. That means I'm going to give them all of the promised land. I'm going to give them all of the promised land. Right now, our country has decided that they should give back part of the promised land. Yeah. Yeah, God says, no, that's not going to happen. And he's going to give them the whole promised land until no more room is found for them. They are going to completely fill it. He shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the river shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name. They shall walk up and down in his name. Just as the scattering of Israel was literal, so is the gathering to be literal. And they shall walk up and down in my name. We are going to glorify God. We are going to glorify God. And I just, I've been singing this the whole time as I've been going through all of this, Jeremiah 31:12. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the mounts of, I can't say it without singing it. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together in the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Jeremiah 31:12. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine, for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Jeremiah 31:12. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, that we will be as a watered garden, and your people, it's your people, Lord, that will be as a watered garden. And there is a time where there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you. We love you. We honor you, Lord. We bless your name. And we give it all to you, Lord. We give you this day. We trust you. We fill us, Lord, to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, on us right now in the name of Jesus that there would be a fresh anointing on each one of us. Lord, that we would be anointed to go out into a world that needs to know you. Father, that we would be strong to speak to people, to grasp opportunities, Lord, to share your love with other people. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us so much to share. Lord, help us to be strong in the strength of your might, Lord, and to never back down, never back down. Lord, we're very aware of those in other countries right now that are being killed just because they're Christians. Lord, we pray for those families. We pray for the ones that are left behind. Father, that it would not deter them from their commitment to you. Father, that they would realize that when we leave here, we just go to be with you. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us in that temptation to just kind of let it go. Strengthen us in that temptation of just, I'll get to it later. Lord, help us to be alert and aware of your presence at all times and to bring glory to your name. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming back for us. And we love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.